Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the monthly Conjure radio show brought to you by Conjure Crossroads. And we're back once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to our studio audience. Welcome to Conjure Crossroads Radio Show. It's been a while since we've been on the air, and we're happy to be back. We are a team of seasoned, competent, and caring Conjure workers, which include Susan Diamond of Serpent's Kiss, serpents-kiss.com, Orion Foxwood of orionfoxwood.com, Mama Star from oldstyleconjure.com, and Auntie Cindy Toto from totomojo.com. And I'm your host, Shimmering Wolf. You can find me at shimmeringwolf.com. And each of us has our own conjure practices, stores, lecture schedules, etc., mayhem and mischief. And you can contact each one of us at our individual websites or email any group inquiries to info@conjurecrossroads.com. And please be sure and subscribe to our blogtalkradio.com Conjure Crossroads page for all upcoming dates and topics. And we also have Facebook page, Conjure Crossroads. And we have a couple of announcements before we get started. First of all, we are having our 6th annual Folk Magic Festival in New Orleans this year, November 8th through 11th. And we look forward to having old friends and meeting new ones there at the Bourbon Orleans Hotel. We have a really exciting lineup. Would anyone like to talk about that?
Sure.
Cindy Toto?
Yes. Hey, everybody. Good evening or afternoon or
Toto.
Whatever time it is. Hey, how's that? How are you, Ron?
It's like I just saw you yesterday.
I know, right? Well, here we go, talking about the Folk Magic Festival. We are extremely excited this year because it's, one, it's our 6th time and 2nd time at the Bourbon Orleans. We're thrilled with all the VIP people who have already registered, and we're excited that we're going to have you. But here's what the schedule is. Very briefly, on Sunday, November 8th, which is when it starts, is the special event, Living with Spirits, Attracting, Developing, and Maintaining a Relationship with Helpful Invisibles. And we're actually going to be kind of expanding on that topic tonight on the show. So this is our special event that is from 5 to 8. It includes a fabulous dinner, open bar, all kinds of information. And you will learn some tools and walk away with some great ones. So that is an event that is a day that can be registered all separately with standard registrations as well. So be sure to check that out on it. Monday, November 9th, we start out the day with Let's Get Clean, Let's Get Covered, which is a hands-on clearing and protection working with Star and Susan. And it's no better way to start out a whole 3 days of intense learning than to get really cleared and covered. And so those girls are going to bring it, at 10:30 on Monday morning. At 12 noon, you'll see a voice of the Spirit, the hearing and heeding the guidance of Spirit with Orion. And this should be a fabulous topic that's rarely covered in magical traditions. And I think it's going to be unusual and also only the way that Orion can teach it, because he's done this for over 30 years. So we'll look forward to hearing him speak about the invisibles. Woo! Then lunch is provided after that. And then the afternoon begins with, I'm going to be teaching Home is Where the Heart Is, working with St. Joseph for Unstoppable House Blessings. And that's kind of self-explanatory. We'll be talking about how Joseph has stepped in for everything to do with the home and jobs and rent, owning, buying, the whole bit. It's a fun, fun class. 5:30 will be switch them, nail them, and walk on them. Taking down the power of an enemy with Mama Star. Oh, my God. Gives me chills just saying it.
Because I ain't playing, y'all.
That's right. Not today, Satan.
Not today, Satan.
So Star's going to be rounding out the Monday on that one. Tuesday, November 10th, we'll kick off with Birds of a Feather, Folk Wisdom and Magical Applications of Birds and Their Plumage, one of my favorite things to do and work with, and I'm happy to be bringing this to the event. And we'll be talking about birds and cultures that use them and work that we use them in and my love of all birds. So fun there. At 11:30 will be the Marie Laveau Legacy Tour, a voodoo walkabout to visit and encounter the Queen's Tomb and her sacred sites with Bloody Mary. Fabulous tour. It's inclusive this year, all of Bloody Mary's things. So that's a new twist and that everyone gets to go to it. So yay, 11:30 on Tuesday. 1:30, we'll have lunch, again provided in the packages of the standard registration for those days. At 3:30, Casting the Stones, Crystal and Gemstone Divination and Magical Prescriptions with Susan Diamond. No one can talk about crystals and stones better than Susan. She has 25 years of experience in working with these powerful allies, and she will share with her the fruits of her findings. Get ready for this one. 5:30, the Graveyard Shift, Practical and Powerful Work in the Boneyard. Graveyard work is an amazingly powerful type of work and often not taught right. Mama Star will be offering her wisdom and all that she's learned from her elders, and I think this will be an opportunity that no one will want to miss. Wednesday, November 11th, 10:30 in the morning, Secrets Revealed, a hands-on advanced doll making and awakening training session with Bloody Mary. Mary teaches amazing voodoo doll making, and we love it. And we think that this is her technique is fabulous. She will discuss the effects of dolls, the use of knots, wrapping them, and then how to release them. You'll love this class. 12 o'clock, Crossroads Magic, crossing, uncrossing, road opening, and road setting with Orion Foxwood. So learn more all about Crossroads Magic, the work that's done, how to open, impede, narrow, weaken, vague, whatever. These are the inroads and the places where we receive blessings and burdens, and also where we can, I don't even know if I'm saying this right, we even manage for our lives. Jesus, I'm talking so fast. Anyway, you want to come to the Crossroads with Orion at 12 o'clock on Wednesday. Lunch is then the third day and will be included on that package. And then at 3:30, the candle speaks, interpreting the flame, burn, and wax forms on magical candles with Susan Diamond. Again, Susan is, in our opinion, one of the best candle makers in the world, and we
Indeed.
Love her work with him. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's just a fact. It's so, just a fact.
It's just a fact. So the candle, I love it. The candle conjuress is going to teach you all about it. At 5:30, Horn of Plenty. 2020, creating and empowering altars, shrines, spirit spots for prosperity with Orion and Cindy. And we are really looking forward to this. It's some of our favorite work. And as much as we love making them, we love showing them too. So this will be a fun prosperity powerhouse of a workshop. And that, my dears, is the Folk Magic Festival for 2015. Again, it's November 8th, 9th, 10th. Then that's it. 8th, 9th, 10th. No. Did I get that right? 7th, 8th, 9th? Okay. 8, 9, 10, 11.
Don't worry, Cindy. You're practically perfect in every way.
That was well done.
Sipping my drink.
So we're excited about this being our sixth annual. We can't believe that we've been doing this for 6 years and becoming an institution in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So we invite you all to go to the website and read more about the classes and sign up and get your tickets to New Orleans. Now is probably a good time to book your flight. So we hope to see you there.
Hey, Woofy.
Yes.
Can I say a little something about the show tonight relative to our festival this year in New Orleans?
Sure.
Well, of course, we're busily getting ready for the Folk Magic Festival, you know, like Santa in his shop before Christmas. and I think here's the proof. So, but our show tonight, the theme of it, it may not be immediately aware to people, you know, as they see it, that it's very much connected to what we're doing, really, in our mission as Conjure Crossroads across the board, but we're especially focusing in on it this year in New Orleans, and that being spiritual sovereignty, how to claim your power, how to use allies, and other forms of magic to make that happen efficiently and effectively.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And
that's all I'm going to say about that.
I don't believe you.
Pretty good position, I think.
There'll be more.
So, well, for those who haven't read our show description tonight, I'll read it for you now. Our show topic is Building Power for Spiritual Sovereignty. Say that five times fast. A declaration of personal independence. Conjure and witchcraft are potent practices for healing, revealing, knowing, and growing your spirit and the blessings of life that can be attracted by it. Core to this is declaring independence from the forces that deplete, compromise, and diminish your power and sovereignty over your destiny. On this show, we will share knowledge, experience, and recommendations on how to call our power home and into focus with the assistance of helpful spirits, practical techniques, and spiritual practices. So let's get right down to it. And I know we have a couple of callers I see called in. We will have a question and answer time near the end of the show, or you can tune into our chat room on Blog Talk Radio and ask questions there or make comments and see links, etc. So join us there if you'd like. And let's get started. So what the heck is spiritual sovereignty anyway?
Run with it, Orion. I love it when you add in that extra I, that long I.
Orion.
Feels like more of me has arrived. So, sovereignty. When I was growing up, my mom always had a saying. She said, if you don't have your spirit, she said, claim your spirit or something else will. And then she also said, if you don't have your spirit, you don't have anything. And the thing is, your spirit, of course, is your essence. That's the piece of you most like unto, if you want to say God, the great spirit, you know, that eternal, powerful piece. That's the voltage in your life engine. And so claiming your power is to own, and claiming your sovereignty over that power is to own the greatest gift that the Creator gave you, and that was over the power over your own destiny. And that's really what conjure work is about.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that's, my little...
that's right on. To just jump on that too, I think that that when you are in your sovereignty, you are reflecting your deepest self, your most integrous, your most authentic.
Well, you know, it's funny you said it that way, Sin, because one of the things that they always said back in the valley about conjure workers, and most of the time they call them spirit doctors, spirit workers. But I would always use the conjure word. I heard it a few times, but not many, because I'm not in that part of the country. And it sounded cool. Well, it sounded cool, spirit doctoring. So I just did all that rambling.
You guys, there's a little bit of background noise. I don't know if anybody else can hear that. I don't know. It almost sounds like, I don't know, somebody's building a house behind somebody. It's really loud. At least it's coming through for me. Does anybody else hear that? Those noises? It just stopped.
Not. I'm being real quiet.
Okay. My phone's on mute, so it ain't me.
Yeah. I think it's when Orion talked. It might be in the background for you,
it's
Orion.
The power of my voice. It's the power of my losing my voice.
That's what it
allergies.
Is. It's the wheels. It's the wheels in your brain.
Yeah, I have that slight Lauren Bacall sound in my voice tonight.
I thought somebody was doing their dishes or something.
That's what it sounded like, but yes, but I don't hear it anymore.
Well, if it's involving someone doing their dishes, I know it's not coming from our place.
Well, anyway.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch. So, there was something I was going to say.
We were talking about spirit doctoring. I
did remember.
Yeah.
So the saying was that the conjurer knows what the conjurer is and how to conjure it out. That was one of the sayings. But then the other one, which I thought was even more profound, was that God placed a part of its spirit, his spirit, in that tradition, in everything. And the conjurer worker knows what piece of that spirit or what prayers, the way they said, a piece of his prayer in everything. So if we start thinking about ourselves, right, as being breathed into life by the Creator, then sovereignty is about claiming that space within us that sourced us, that place that has creative potential, that has the very visions of our own being in it. And I think that's why they were saying if you don't have that, you don't have anything. Because if you don't have your spirit, then your motivation, the gas in your engine ain't there.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, it's that you are one basically with the divine. You are one with the divine in your innermost self. And that is where we feel or wield our real power from. It is the harmonious, I guess, the harmony of being with our higher purpose and all of that. Don't you think?
Certainly, it's something that is demonstrated in vitality and vibrancy.
Mm-hmm.
When someone is in their power and in their sovereignty, you can feel it.
And there is no magic without that. There is none.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely correct.
You cannot manifest without tapping into the source of manifestation.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's your zip code. It's your dial-in.
Right. And I think that's where people try and force power, or they think they can force power, and where spiritual sovereignty, or run, I can't even say that word right now. They're two very different things. You cannot force power. You cannot force the power of it.
And people who do magic out of a place of desperation certainly mm-hmm. don't activate that power within.
Well, that depletes them. That depletes their spirit. That depletes them. When you're pulling from, you're not pulling. When you're tapping in, you're not pulling. You're just working with, co-creating with spirit, and therefore, it takes no effort.
And take yourself out. You know, that's how people take themselves out. That force. You know, exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
I just remembered the other saying, y'all. There was a third one. Tell this subject near.
I told you wasn't done.
Now I think I forgot that one again. That's going to. Oh, no. I am so jet lagged tonight. It'll come back. It'll come. Oh, I knew what it was. The saying is, if you want to be a conjurer, your mouth and God's mouth got to become the same mouth. Of course, the subtext to the saying was, and in order to get to that place, sometimes you got to get in God's mouth to be chewed up a little bit. And so I say that for so many people who are wanting to be conjurers, or maybe they're calling themselves that, and they may have information and they may have these things, but if you're not growing your spirit, which will be evident, then the mouth of spirit isn't going to be solid. I mean, the breath of spirit isn't going to be solidly in your mouth enough for the spirit to take you seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying you got to become God's chewing tobacco.
There you go. My name is Ron Foxwood, and I'm God's snuff.
Oh, my God. That's great. And that's really true, because you know what? That's really where you speak from. You know, you can't speak from ego, which is what tends to happen when people go into their ego self instead of their spirit self. Then what happens? You lose integrity, you lose consciousness, you lose discernment, you lose all of it down the tubes. And those are the things. Go ahead, Susan.
And you know you're doing it right when it's easy. It should be easy. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I think we strive for with the festivals is helping folks make it easy. Magic, conjure, it's easy. It really is. It's about finding that alignment and being in that voice.
And exactly. And you know, it really... And I say this to everybody that's listening, when we start forming our event, when we start really calling in what it's to be about, it's a channel. It's a direct dial-in of this is it. And then one of us will have one thing and one the other, and then it all forms. And it's, I truly believe divinely, definitely from our divine spirits and what we're supposed to speak about, what we're supposed to bring. And I know for me and everything that I've ever done and the feeling of the divine coming through and really coming out. And I know all of you, with all of you too, because I know you, it's an intense, wonderful, wonderful connection. And that's what we want to bring there for sure. And it's what we do. Yep.
How would you describe the knowing of when you're in that state?
Oh, gosh. How would I describe it?
I think it goes back to the ease, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It just comes out. It comes out, and then the other thing is you almost don't remember. you know, it's sort of like you're speaking through another mouth, or not mm-hmm. your body mouth, but your soul mouth, or your, yeah, I guess that's a soul mouth would be good. And so it starts flowing, and the flow is almost like a chant, or like a prayer, or like something that just automatically happens. I think it's almost like being high with no with nothing getting you high, you know.
Justin, that was one of the things I was going to say, is the body clues. You know, the body clues that you're there is that you feel whole and healthy and vibrant and alive. Mm. It is like a high. It you feel like there's not anything you can't do. And physically, so, you know, pain even leaves you momentarily when you're in that space of divine alignment.
Yeah, euphoria, totally. I mean, I was sick as a dog for 3 workshops and never felt it. You know, never felt it. You just, your body, you're out of body.
or in body. I think it's more spirit in body.
Yeah. No joke.
I've sometimes noticed kind of like a tingling in the stomach, and it's like having an extra strong espresso.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, honey.
Susan said it well, too. I think it's about being in step. It's sort of like there's this process in the fairy seership work that I teach, and I call it the AAA plan of spirituality. And with that, there's a process where we attune to ourselves, get to know the difference between our own spirit and the many sounds and the many things that try to claim our attention in the world we live in. And that's called attunement. And then there's alignment. And alignment is really about bringing yourself into alignment with your soul's destiny, your soul's voice, and your soul's directive. And then agreement is the third A, is when all the levels of your life, interior and exterior, are in agreement. Doesn't mean life's perfect, but it means that you're being authentic. You're being who you truly are at your core, and you're living it that way. Once you're in that, there's an ease to life. Again, life's challenges, you know, don't just go away. But blessings seem to fall easier. And I often say it's as if God can hear you with more clarity than ever. Because now God, the source, can hear its own voice inside you. Like, for instance, if we're talking about Mama Star, Mama Star's journey has been to become what the source saw her as when the source made her. And so if, as long as Mama Star, and let me tell you something, she's living it too. As long as Mama Star can do that and stay true to that, the universe will back her up. Because after all, she's growing the source that is sitting inside of her into this world. It takes a little bit of courage to be sovereign over your spirit. Because then you have to run out of excuses, and you can't lie so easy.
Absolutely. I think it takes a lot of courage. That's a good word to use.
Did you hear that, Mama Star?
Oh, I hear you. I call it being comfortable in my own skin. Knowing that inner power is there should I ever need it. Just because you have some doesn't mean you have to use it. But I think that what y'all are talking about is being comfortable with your own power and knowing that it's there.
Exactly.
I just say it a little bit different, that's all.
Well, I think you're right, Mona. I think the big piece of that is it starts with understanding that the eternal sits inside of us. the eternal
understanding, maybe, and not fearing, son.
Right.
You know, some folks fear what they hold within inside of them. They're afraid of that power.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yet it can set us free from all the shackles of our lives.
And isn't freedom the key word to sovereignty? I mean, it's freedom, liberation.
But you know, with freedom and liberation comes trials and errors and a whole bunch of things, and folks don't want to take that step.
Yeah, that's right. You're right, Sugar. That's exactly right. Woo!
So let's talk about some ways that you kind of dial in that that feeling and what happens when you're not in that space. How do you move yourself out of limiting forces and call your power back? What are some of the techniques that you guys use and promote?
I take a bath and go to bed. That's it.
I go to a chair.
I'm sorry.
So when chair concerts aren't available,
then I go sit in my own chair here at the house or wherever I'm at, and I start to do this one particular incantation, this one particular sort of charm. And that is, if you imagine your power being like, I don't know, like sparks of light that fly out from you and that sometimes need to be called back to their source. And we can find ourselves, our spirit, being drawn away from us by many things. I mean, trauma, different life experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, our spirit.
Traffic.
Not all of it. What was that?
Uh-huh.
Traffic jams.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
So
Mercury retrograde.
I thought we weren't going to cuss on the show today.
Who said that?
Damn it, I never said that.
I didn't agree. I don't think I agree with that.
I don't think so.
In this practice, what you do is when you feel, and the other thing too is don't wait till you feel depleted to take sovereignty over your spirit. That's like saying, I'm not going to dress a wound until it has a full-blown infection in it.
That's right.
You want to be proactive as much as you can. You want to have this ideal, this practice, as part of your everyday paradigm, because your spirit's always going to be with you, and you want to know it, grow it, heal it, and reveal it. So this little practice, all you do is you imagine all the places where spirit may be taken from you, maybe a traumatic event. And you'll know because it keeps running through your head. It stays with you, even though it may have happened years and years ago. And that's just one example. And then what you do is you conjure up in your mind those different things at different places. And if you don't know some of them, it doesn't matter. It's the process, because the process itself will gather up for you. And you reach out as if you were, like, calling pieces of light back to yourself. And you say, in the name of the holy mystery, I call my power back to me. In the name of the holy mystery, I call my power back to me.
Back to me.
And I have seen this work, this simple little working, do incredible healing for folks. Because people, we often don't think that we can just simply say, I'm out, I'm cashing out of a no-yielding account that I seem to have my spirit invested in. Or I'm carrying around something from former years that's eating me alive, because the past can be like a zombie that's ravenous that can't eat enough to satisfy its diet. And but we do have the power to call our spirit back and to manage it and to grow it. That was given to us by the source, and nobody can take it away.
One of the techniques that I've used for both emotional and physical injury is just a mantra that says, feel it and heal it, feel it and heal it.
Mm.
And because I know that both physical pain and emotional pain, we often resist and push away and deny. And when you embrace it and heal it, it allows you to move through it quicker, in my experience.
You know, also, if you're out of alignment and you're not feeling it, it's okay to lean on another spirit that may be strong. And there are certain spirits that inhabit our planet that are always strong, always know who they are. They always know, they're always aligned. The big redwoods here in Santa Cruz are fabulous for that. It's like they know they're a redwood. They've always been a redwood. They've been a redwood longer than we've, you know, humanity has probably existed. But they help us to remember ourselves. So if you sit quietly with another spirit that is in alignment, you can often get yourself back in that place. Okay. Whether that's the trees or the ocean or, you know,
dirt,
stones, dirt. Yeah. Yeah. Got it.
Dirt.
You know, and you can speak to the trees, feet. Too. Mm-hmm. Speaking to the trees is a helpful way of giving them the emotions to compost.
Because mm-hmm. Sarah's speaking to dirt. I want to hear about that, actually, how you work with the dirt.
I'm a dirt whisperer.
I think we both said dirt at the same time.
Oh, was it you, Cindy? I heard somebody say dirt. I'm like, I want to hear more about, yeah, how do you work with the dirt?
For me with dirt is in the sense of feeling depleted, if I know or I'll get the an impression that I need to go out and put my feet and really get my feet in dirt and feel something. It's like, it's almost like you want to go let the dirt bite you or get through to you. And it's so, at that point, I think the groundingness of it or just feeling the ground, or I don't know how to explain it. It's something about having my feet in dirt. And that said, too, I have a lot of where I stand. I can go out for a minute, 2 minutes, out in just in the yard and stand there and listen to bamboo and have my feet in dirt and be reinforced, just replenished. But it's that total just check out of it, you know. I use dirt a lot in work. Too. I like to pull dirt into stuff.
Yeah, and gardening is always good, a really good way of bringing one back into a grounded alignment with the earth.
There's other things, too, like dance and sound and movement.
Yes.
Reconnect you.
Oh, couldn't live without dance. Yeah, I mean, that's a prayer I always keep. I just, please always let me be able to dance. How about you, sister, and dirt?
Me?
Yeah.
I love dirt. I'm always in dirt. If I don't have dirt and plants, I feel like I cannot breathe.
Mm.
And I'm serious. I have to keep greenery around me. And I've always liked the dirt. I like it, and I like making balls out of it, and I like adding it to my work. And I think that it adds an extra power to any work that you're doing.
Yeah, I know you used dirt a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And, of course, I was raised to believe that the dirt and the land are alive, and so anything that you add that to is going to reinforce that life and power. I really like it in dolls a lot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our people love.
I like making mud dolls.
Mud dolls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you let them dry, and then there you have a doll. Yeah.
I want you to come here and teach that star. I'll get you out here again.
The doll works.
Yeah,
the,
mud, yeah.
The mud
yeah. The mud yeah. Doll. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And apple heads and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it's where, you know, I know that my grandmother and where my work comes from is because they were working in the fields, and so they did their spiritual work while they were working, while they were literally having to work. And I often see in my mind's eye, I often see rows of fields, like a, you know, I want to say corn, but it's not corn. It's just how you see rows of tilled up earth. Mm-hmm. That comes in my head a lot. I think when I call my grandma and talk with her. I think there's that connection. And I also see a lot of red dirt.
Well, is it time for me to air my dirt?
Air your dirty dirt.
I was just really thinking about this because I've been working with soil all my life. We were farmers, we were orcharders, but we also did graveyard work, boneyard work, and that's you know, was core to my culture's, you know, practice. But I was taught the dirt. Well, there is no dirt other than what comes out of our mouths. The soil that we work with is filled with ancestral memory, filled with it. All the ancestors have been buried there, human and other, over century of time. So there's no one thing that we could ever be looking for that the dirt doesn't have. And I was taught all the way from doing things like, and Mama, you may recognize this from stuff you grew up with, dirt washing. And dirt washing was to take up a handful of soil and call the ancestors out of it, and then when I say out of it, to come forward with their power, and then you would wipe someone down with it, like just in your hands, like a clump of it, and then toss it into water moving away from you.
Oh yeah, that's cleansing. Yeah.
Yep. And that's an old practice.
Mm-hmm.
And see, Appalachian culture too, we romance the land, which is also why I haven't got my ass out to California yet, because it takes us forever to move. That's true. Oh my God. Well, we romance the land because the land and us are one and the same. You know, we're made out of the land, and it has the power and the knowledge of everyone who's ever been buried in it.
Well, the water and the land. I mean, we live in a terrarium. You know, there's nothing that escapes our atmosphere. Everything goes back to the dirt or to the water or to the sky or to the air. It all...
This has really gone to dirt, hasn't it? This subject has really gone to dirt.
To the dirt.
Y'all were like, what is he talking about? What is he saying?
Well, I think the original question, Wolfie, was how to get into that space.
I'm sorry.
Right?
How to what?
How to get into that space, right, of alignment,
right,
when you're out of it. And that just makes some sense. Got another question?
So let's talk about specifically at the Folk Magic Festival how we're going to talk about being sovereign and getting control over one's destiny in the workshops that we're going to be presenting this year.
Ooh, ooh, me, Mr. Carter. Me, Mr. Carter.
Yes, go ahead.
You remember Welcome Back, Carter, y'all. There's
yes,
young
yes.
On here will be not
he, what's his name? Your
Horshack. Yeah.
Arnold.
Yes, Horshack. Oh, my God.
Well, the workshop I'm doing about heeding and hearing the voice of your spirit is really related to the sovereignty piece. and understanding what spirit is, how to feel its presence, how to feel when it's not balanced, when it's unclean, when something's tainting spirit. Not have to wait for things to arrive in the physical to be informed. After all, isn't that why we do readings?
Mm-hmm.
To be, right. You know, so the spirits have given us a way when we're unclear to look into the invisible and have a sense of what's going on in the spirit world, good and bad, you know, helpful and harmful, so that we can minimize or, as I say, mediate or eliminate, you know. I think that's what I'm trying to say. That's enough on that.
Well, and yeah, no, so I was going to say, I'm actually doing two divination workshops on this event, and one of them is reading candles, and the other is working with the spirit of ancient stones. And I think that divination is the voice of spirit, and it's the voice of spirit that is specifically aligned to connect to you, to create, to conjure, to magically prepare what is needed to bring yourself in alignment at whatever challenge you happen to be facing. So to me, divination is just that. It's the voice of spirit made manifest.
And there's, of course, multiple ways of doing divination, and
absolutely.
certainly is one of the great tools when you're not kind of feeling it in yourself. It's kind of a guide to get you back into the driver's seat.
Susan said that so crisply and clear. Susan, you should consider writing a book on divination.
Okay. All right. I'll do that tomorrow in between breakfast and everything else I have to do.
You've got at least 2 minutes.
Okay.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Oh. Anyone else have any other tools that they... that they want to talk about,
I think it's really,
well.
You know,
stars, go ahead, honey.
Switch them, nail them. The stars, switch them, nail them, walk on. I think that, you know, one of the things we haven't addressed is when others try to take away our sovereignty and our power. You know, and
yes.
And there's so much in the magical community, so much fear about what's the right thing to do when somebody's trying to do that to you, like, am I going to do the wrong thing karmically and all this other talk. And it's important to take an assertive stance and claim your power. And I think that's something that's skirted a lot, not really dealt with. So I'd like to ask, you know, like the switch them, nail them, walk them sounds really aggressive and harsh, but really taking down the power of an enemy is protecting your sovereignty, is it not?
It is. It is, and it's that type of work is not something that you go around working every day, but when you have to have it, it's good enough. And especially nowadays, this work is too much out there, and different folks have different ideas about what is justified and what is not justified. And so as workers, we have to be able to defend, protect, and take away the threat. Should we have it? I mean, because if we don't, then what happens to our spirit?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you have to be able to defend yourself. Does that mean you have to do it at every turn, every time you snag a fingernail or something? Absolutely not. But, I mean, if folks are throwing at you or it's overrunning your life, then you best know how to defend yourself and take care of yourself. And I think that the cleansing is a real important part of what we're talking about, because it's stripping away those things that weaken us and weaken our spirit. So everybody will start out fresh and clean, and then they can go through all these workshops with an open mind. Because confusion work seems to be real popular. And so if you're confused and you don't know what you're really doing, then that dampens your spirit, and not only that, it can lead you in the wrong direction. So I think all of these workshops are going to be very good, and they're all built around building your own power and standing strong.
Absolutely. And, you know, once again, it's the freedom of freedom and liberation to do this, and to know that you're doing it right. Is if you don't know all the aspects and how to do it, then how do you create your freedom of spirit? How do you create it? How do you leverage it and work your power? You can't unless you can cover all your bases. You got to have your bases covered, and you got to know how to do it and be ready to stand up for it, as you're saying, Star.
I've never taught these two workshops that I'm doing, the graveyard and the switch them. I have never taught that anywhere ever, and I have never wrote about it, and I may never teach it again.
Especially,
but I just feel at the time folks now need to learn these things.
I think it's an integral part of learning, and for a conjure worker, and the fact that you are teaching them and stepping up to it is really good, because I don't think I've ever seen that done. And there's a whole misconception, as you say, around all of this work, and a lot of half-assed, you know, things thrown out there of this is the way you do this, and all these, you know, and everybody's got these issues around it. It's, there's a lot of BS around it. So I love that you're doing it. I think it's going to be fabulous.
And like you said, Sin, these they're inspired. The workshops, the choices, sometimes you're like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I've never done this before. I think that happens to all of us. And I think they are inspired, and they're specifically created, you know, if you trust spirit, if you're in alignment with spirit, the people that come are in alignment with the people doing the workshops, and the inspiration of the workshops themselves, the information that's coming through us, it's all synchronistic, and it's all about, you know, this moment in time and what we're bringing, and not just what we're bringing, but what the people who are attending bringing, because it's a co-creative process that we create with this event.
Well, Star said
interactive
that gets left out of spiritual discussions a lot. Well, I think this is definitely a modern thing, leaving this out, and that is about power. We all have the right to be powerful. In fact, in some ways, it's our duty to the source to be powerful, you know, worthy of that piece of source that's sitting inside of us. And so being powerful or having the ability to affect change in your life is about not being a victim. And sometimes we all are. I mean, we get wounded, and real victimizing things happen. But as a life path, we don't want to go that direction. And so these workshops are also about building your power, as Star said, and all the way from what is spirit and hearing it to specific techniques to claim your destiny, to own the sovereignty over the shape of your life, and not give that away to the rest of the world.
Or,
can y'all tell this is a subject
truly,
really near and dear to my heart?
Can I just say,
yes.
Being in your power is giving away to the rest of the world in a way that is not depleting. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
When you're in your power, you are emanating power to the world. you're not depleting it. When you're right. when you are not in your power, you are sucking energy.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
It makes sense, and I think that it's also
it's also a
really good barometer on when power is being used for enhancing and expanding the collective good, or when it's not. And when someone is using power that is not channeled through them from spirit, then it can be depleting to other people and even themselves. And it's quite the opposite when that power is inspired.
And that's true.
Expands.
And that's exactly how, and that's how you know there are times whenever someone calls you to or ask you to read them or to work with them or something, and it's you absolutely know you're not, or you don't, or you're not going to want to, or your spirit tells you either you are depleted or you're going to be if you do this, so don't do it. And knowing that stop place, woo, girl, y'all know that's important, because there is nothing worse than being some raggedy asshole, you know, oh, I'm going to work till my bones drop, and all you do is deplete yourself and deplete your client, and you don't do good work.
You know, there's another saying I grew up with that is very similar, well, really gives a capsule way of saying it to what Wolfie just said. And that saying is, remember this, what you conjure conjures you.
Mm.
Because whatever mm-hmm. You're conjuring because you have that in your inner being, in your spirit. Be that good,
mm-hmm.
be that bad. Now, of course,
you've
the
owned
easier way to pass that teaching on, and that is if you lay down with dogs, you get fleas, unless you're laying down
with
dogs.
That's a good one. That's, are my dogs, you ain't going to get
or
no fleas.
Or
SARS.
I won't say it.
None of our animals going to get
there's not a flea going to be within a mile of this house.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I'd love to think I was that clean.
But we all know.
Oh, Lord. What? What'd you say?
The white gloves.
Is it? Oh, yeah. That's something. That's a whole nother subject.
Are y'all being bad kids?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I was just going to say I'm going to check and see if there's any questions from our listeners out there. So keep going.
Okay. Well, the other thing that go ahead, Susan.
Well, I was just thinking about taking that to the next level, and also, you know, not to shame. Everybody should know that everybody's learned the hard way. We still do work where we get drained. We still do all that stuff. So if we're saying, you know, you're doing work and you're getting drained, you're not, you know, you're not in alignment with your spirit, that's how you learn. And that's not a bad thing. That's just a process of learning. So you know, not to feel bad about
it. Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
Still
no,
do that.
No halo on this head.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I just want to put that out there. And also, there comes a point when, you know, everybody wants to be a magical worker and everybody wants to, you know, be a conjurer. There comes a point, though, in your work when you're needing to use your power that you've accumulated through your wisdom, through your practice, when you see something that's wrong, that's not in alignment, that is uncomfortable, you need to take action to change it. It's no longer acceptable to stand by and watch something unjust happen. And that's the side of this work that nobody really talks about. If you want to develop a relationship, for instance, with the spirit of justice, then you need to develop that relationship outside of your own personal needs. Is this making any sense?
Yes.
You're needing to expand that relationship and really understand it. And the more you do that, whether it's a relationship with prosperity, whether it's justice, whether it's with love, whether you're supporting other lovers, whether you're smiling with people on the street, you develop a relationship with a spirit that now it is grown inside of you, and therefore you're in alignment with it, and therefore you become a powerful worker in that area of experience.
Correct.
And that,
yes,
and that
that's
speaks
absolutely
to,
correct.
That speaks to the integrity work that you know is built up over time and is consistent, and you get those you get that spiritual kudos from a long road of walking the good red road, as they say in the Native teachings.
Yeah. And you look at people and you're like, wow, that person is just lucky with love. It's like, oh no, they developed a relationship with love. That person's lucky with money. No, they developed that relationship with money. They worked at it. And every opportunity that they saw to embrace its spirit, they embraced it.
You know, Susan, you're really touching on something that is so important, and that is to almost like inventory what are the spirits you court, like courting as in like dating. What are the spirits that you're in a relationship with, even if you don't, they don't have a name, if it's, you know, I've got a, a constant relationship with the spirit of griping, you know, then I'm going to have to start healing that relationship and try to move from it. But what about if my prosperity is not doing so good? What is your relationship with prosperity, and how do you court prosperous spirits? You know, and how do you become more sovereign over the direction of prosperity, as an example, in your life, as opposed to being bantied about by the winds of change? And that's, I think, a big chunk of what a conjure is about, you know.
Was that a question?
No, I think it was. I'm thinking about it.
Oh, was it a question? Okay, well, like courting the spirit of prosperity, you don't do that by living lack, and you don't do that by, you know, and there are, this is gonna, at the risk of sounding new agey, because the new age movement does have a little bit of, you know, insight here and there, is, you know, you want prosperity, you don't sit on money, you spend with the understanding that there's more to come. You recognize money for what it is, which is this thing that accumulates. I remember doing I don't remember which workshop it was, but it's like you look at a dollar bill and you say, what's it worth? What can this buy? And you say, well, a dollar's worth of something. It's like, oh, no, this dollar bill over its lifetime has accumulated hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of things. It's moved around. Prosperity isn't stagnant. Prosperity moves. You have to understand what prosperity looks like and how its spirit works. It moves through things. It doesn't ever sit still. It expands. It's an expansion energy. So that's how you court it, by understanding its characteristics and what it likes. And you do what it likes. You do what it feeds on.
That's exactly. You did that last year, Susan, in that workshop. It was so brilliant. And I'm not packing you here. And what you just said is really a mouthful, because that whole bit of coming from lack. And, of course, that's the first place we go, oh, shit, I don't have enough money to pay that bill. Well,
instead of looking at it that way, what would happen if you looked at it with, wow, I'm going to go over here and do this and it's going to come in? You know, you going from the place of lack, it's absolutely that. It's really a trick. And
but if
it
you,
takes...
And a warning, though, if you attach fear to it, it's probably not going to work for you. You really need to release that fear.
Well, you have to build a gravitational.
You've got to reduce that fear.
Do that act with the smile on your face, even though you're fearing inside, and, you know, and the emotion will follow.
That's right, and we're all there. I want to make it crystal clear to everybody that this isn't, you know, we're not all sitting here whistling Dixie of, because we all go through this. It really takes you going into yourself and going, okay, I'm going to pull out, I'm going to go to that, change that consciousness. I've got to change out of this to that. And it will work.
Yeah. And cultivating.
Wolfie, you asked if that was a question. It was a
statement. Uh-huh.
It was a statement to just add a little bit more to the importance of what Susan said about relationships with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Star has in the front of one of her books, it might have been the prosperity one, it was on the very first page, and she put in there, you are what you draw to you. You remember that, Star? Star?
I was just thinking that whenever they were talking. Yeah, we are what we should.
And that was one of your very wise sayings.
And I live by that.
Mm-hmm. And Susan's statement about, relationship and then I use the word courting behind it. That's a hard wake-up call for folks, too, to... Because then they have to look at, well, how do I give my sovereignty away?
Mm-hmm.
And do I even know what it feels like to have it? Have I ever had it?
Yeah, but there's some people that haven't felt that at all. And we live in a culture that kind of drives us down and has a tendency to anyone who's demonstrating a healthy self-esteem, they get beat up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that, you know, I invite
Cindy?
Everybody that is going through that. I'm sorry, Wolf, just or whatever you when you just said that about everybody that people don't know or they haven't read, educate yourself, learn, ask questions. You know, you have you have so many sources at your fingertips to learn. You know, that is part of growing and, you know, studying this work.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit of practical advice, like, just want to touch briefly on, like, if you're courting the spirit of love also, for instance, the worst thing you can do is be jealous of other lovers. If you see other lovers, you want to embrace that and say, oh, my God, I'm happy. I know love exists. If you start embracing the opposite of love, which is, you know, control or jealousy, you will not be a magnet for love. You won't court love. So it's important to, even if you don't mean it at first, you will start to smile at lovers, smile at people holding hands. Embrace that as I support you, love, spirit of love, and that's how you court. It's a piece of it. It's just a piece of it, but that's how you help to court love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the candles, the oils, the powders, the mojos. Those are also to kind of help you stay on the right channel spiritually. To have that, start building that attraction that will draw the things that you want to you.
They're the allies, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, Susan, I use that word now because of you. I love that word.
The allies word? The eat word?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is an eat word.
Woo.
So we do have one
feedback here.
We do have one question in the chat room that I'll present to the crew here, and that is one person says that they like to cleanse themselves before they do devotional work and altar devotional work, and sometimes it feels like a long time for that to feel like it's effective. So what do you recommend for quick kind of dropping in, quick cleansing kinds of practices?
The answer is no.
Prayer.
Answer. What do you mean the answer is no?
I think you need to keep doing it till you feel cleansed, period. I mean, it's not always a quick process. I mean, sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. But to me, that caller is really in touch with themselves because they know it's not happening right. Yeah, some people are like, I took a shower, I'm good now, and they're not. To know that, is to experience that. And I'm telling you, I have done, you know, workings where I haven't felt ready for days, you know, and
absolutely.
You know, you just keep, you trust that, and you just keep doing it until you feel done, and don't try to rush it. But there are things that can help, you know.
That's
like
right.
Ron was saying, it's prayer, but still, just trust yourself.
No, but I jumped out of it
and
said
and
prayer. It's because it's good for your spiritual immune system to plug in to the spirit, to the source, daily in some way for renewal and to strengthen your relationship with the many allies that may be trying to find you. So overall, chronic conditions that you have to do cleansing for, that's going to take a while because you may be retraining your spirit also. But as an ongoing sort of the vitamin C for our spirit, just to keep the immune system up, is prayer.
And you mean that as a regular practice, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And if you, to this person too, if they're feeling that they might need to relook or do another quick divination on the work that they're looking to do, because if they can't start it or they seem to feel like that they're blocked from it, then maybe it's time to look at it again and say, am I supposed to do this today or do I not do it today or do I move on? I mean, I've started a mojo bag sometimes and had it sit for weeks because not ready to complete or not weeks, let's say. Yeah, a couple weeks.
This is a fabulous question, actually, because I think we all do that. Is like, and because we've all talked about ourselves, and people think somebody hires you and you're supposed to do something and you're supposed to do it right away. No. And that's not how it works.
No.
And, you'll know when the timing is right, and sometimes it's a matter of waiting for that moment and that alignment.
Well,
right.
And that
if you're
that brings up
oh, I'm sorry.
I was
going to
say that
if you're looking for action,
go ahead.
Me or you?
No, go ahead, Cindy.
if you're looking for actual cleansing techniques, you look in Star's book, for instance, about spiritual cleansing or about cleansing.
Right.
You know, brush yourself off, use your chicken foot, get your salt, take a bath, use your Florida water, say your prayer, do your, you know, start, do a little system, have your own little system. If you're looking for actual techniques, that's what I would say, but I think you probably know these.
Yeah. Star has a great book on cleansings, and also
she does.
Things you can do to strengthen yourself, and sometimes it means what we talked about earlier, time alone, physical care, making sure you're healthy and what you eat. There's a lot of things you can do to strengthen your physical body, and here's the thing that a lot of people don't talk about either, is your physical body has to hold the power. So your physical body has to be fit enough to hold the power of your work. And
So just eating healthy is a form of cleansing too.
And, you know, really quick on that too, Susan, you just said it, and I would also say this to him, what is going on in your life with you yourself that might be throwing the block of why you can't cleanse to get to do that work? So there might be something that you need to address in your mundane or in your own life that is stopping you. So that's the other thing about that.
And another thing, we all know that we always get clients that trigger our own issues. That is a thing that, you know, every worker knows. You will always get clients that trigger your issues. So while you're healing them, you're healing yourself. So very often there's resistance with certain types of work.
And routine is important.
Good point.
Too. You know, keeping up with your clients.
What's
routine?
Yes.
I mean, you have to stay on top of that. That's something that should be done every day when you're saying your prayers, at least a brush down or a brush off with a candle. The more it builds, the harder it
there
is
you
to
go.
Get it out.
You know, this is just
That's
a
right.
little giggle, but I was teaching a workshop on spiritual cleansing once as, you know, part of owning and growing our spirit. And this woman, bless her heart, said, at what point am I done spiritual cleansing? It keeps coming up in every workshop y'all do. So what I said is, at what point have you taken your last poop? At what point have you sweated the last time you're going to sweat and you won't have to take a bath anymore? At what point is your house clean and you'll never have to clean it again?
Oh my God!
Silly. Well, our spirit.
Yeah.
It has to be fed. It has to be grown. It has to be kept clean. It has to be, you know, cared for.
And that's
daily.
One of the things that
daily.
I have found that people neglect to do. They
yep.
do all this stuff, but cleansing
yes,
is the last thing in the world that they think about doing, and that should be the first thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They'll spend hundreds of dollars on all kind of stuff, but did they take a bath? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Drink your coffee and then go take a bath in it.
Right.
That's it. Make a morning. Make a
brush your
cup.
Drink your coffee.
Right.
And your grind.
Right.
It's simple. Just make it a routine.
Funny.
Well, I think
there
that indicates that you know, when things are not flowing, it's a feedback mechanism. I think that's what everybody's basically saying. It's
mm-hmm.
like it's spirit giving you a message saying something else is needed, or the timing isn't right, or do a little bit more. And
like Orion said, if you hold that poop in, trouble's going to happen. You need to cleanse inside and outside.
It's called impaction.
Was that
okay.
It was in the parts of that show, that Disney show, Frozen. Let it go, let it go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there's the school bell. Telling us that we're coming to the end of our latest Blog Talk Radio show, and we appreciate you all for listening. And yes, we do have a couple of announcements. We'd like to tell you about an exciting event coming up in Santa Cruz area in the fall. In September, on the fall equinox, near the fall equinox, and that's a new event called Witches in the Woods. And do you want to talk about that, Suze?
Or Orion. You know, it's going to be Orion and Wolf and myself and Orion's partner, Aubrey, and we're going to have three full days, three nights, of magical workings, including a fire circle, a psychic dreaming workshop, intentional magic, Orion, you want to speak to it a little bit?
Well, yeah, it's what we're calling a magical immersion experience. It's not a workshop, per se. It's a full-blown experience to discover the things that we need and how through magic to address them and to start addressing them right there at the event and to pull on the oldest of witches, to pull on the guidance of the oldest of witches, nature. We're going to be right there in nature. So every sort of experience, workshop, everything is about, really about sovereignty and going to our first ally in this world, nature.
And it's going to be taking place at, it's going to be taking place at a beautiful, beautiful private location, 127 acres of beautiful redwoods and amazing grounds all off the grid. And there's an amazing fire circle that we will be playing in and creating, and we'll be doing work around the fire. And we will, yes, have the amazing culinary expertise of Susan Diamond.
Wait till you see the four of us as a team. Because love is the fuel in our engine. Love and service, I think you'll have a good time.
So that is happening.
What else is going on? What else is going on? Sin? Got anything coming
up? So let me just finish. That is happening September 18th through 20th. And you can find out more information at witchesinthewoods.com, and you'll be able to register tomorrow or the registration should be up tomorrow. So
tonight.
You can check it out more information there and email us if you have any questions.
Well, that's awesome, you guys. I'm excited.
Come on.
And
down.
Cindy, you just had an exciting event.
It came off
recently.
Yes, it was wonderful. It was a big thing here in the Northwest, and I'm so pleased with it. And now, concentrating on just my own work and being here and taking care of things and getting ready for New Orleans. That's about it for me.
That's about
and
it,
some
huh?
stuff. Some quiet things that I'm not talking about yet. not any big deal. Personal stuff. I'm not going to have a baby, though, just so y'all know.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
No babies over here. No announcements for children.
So how about you, Mama Star? You got anything cooking in the cauldron?
Oh, I got a few surprises, but I don't want to talk about them yet either. But I am getting ready for New Orleans. I want to do some different kind of stuff. So I'm working on it. I'm working on my New Orleans stuff.
What about your blog? Your blog?
Oh, my newspaper. Yeah, we have. I did start the Voices of Conjure newspaper. It's a biweekly newspaper, and I hope to eventually turn it into a paper newspaper that gets mailed out. Right now, it is simply online.
Yeah,
we got some good writers, good information. The third edition comes out tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Awesome. And how can people how can people access that?
VoicesOfConjure.com.
Oh, say that again?
Yeah. The VoicesOfConjure.com.
VoicesOfConjure.com. I've been working on
Okay, great.
Okay, I think I got it.
And I've been working on an astrology column for that. That's going to be it's a conjure scopes. So it's going to take into account where you're getting power from the planets and what type of workings you would have that assistance with. We have allies that are planetary allies to work. And so people will have an idea of what type of work to focus on each month that's in alignment with their astrology.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excited about it. I was working on it all day. I'll get it to you tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, sister.
All right, well.
It's going to be nice.
Sweet.
All right, well, thank you all for another wonderful episode of Blog Talk Conjure Crossroads Radio Hour. And we will see you around the bend at the next Conjure Crossroads radio show in about a month.
All right. All righty then.
Much love, everybody, and stay sovereign.
Good night.
Good night. Happy trails.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.